so glad to have you with us for another uplifting word. We're going to share with you today, God says it's time to praise. God says it's time to praise. Israel had departed Egypt and marched to the border of the Promised Land. But in the Promised Land, there was a city named Jericho, a well-fortified city with huge walls and very effective defenses. As Joshua wondered what in the world to do, the Holy Spirit showed up. God actually appeared to Joshua, and the Lord said, I have delivered Jericho into your hands. Good news. Very good news, because this city was so well fortified, the armies of Israel stood no chance against it. But God said, I have delivered the city into your hands, although it looked impenetrable. It was tightly shut up. The walls were impregnable. The gates were locked shut. But the Lord says, I have delivered it into your hands. And then the Lord continued, Joshua, have all the people give a loud shout, and the wall will collapse. Well, now, that was a little more difficult to understand. I mean, how can shouts destroy a walled city? But that's what the Lord said to do. Basically, the Lord was telling his people to praise. He was commanding Joshua to lead the people into a praise warfare. And so, this morning, we want to share with you why it's time to praise God. There are three times that we should praise the Lord. We should be praisers of our God when opposition appears unconquerable. Now, we've all faced situations that seemed unconquerable. Families that aren't interested in Jesus. Churches that are struggling. Health that is deteriorating. We've all faced it. So the Lord says, it's time to praise when opposition appears unconquerable. Now, when the Lord appeared to Joshua and instructed him on the military tactics that would destroy and conquer Jericho, the Lord used the past tense and said, I have delivered Jericho into your hands. Well, it was easy to see that the walls of Jericho had not cracked. They still stood tall and firm. But yet God said, I have delivered. As if Jericho was already in the Israelis' possession. I wondered about that tense of the verb. Well, you see, brother and sister, God speaks of non-existent things as if they already existed. Romans chapter 4, verse number 17. Let's read this from the NIV. It says,
I have made you a father of many nations. He is the God who calls things that are not as though they were.
God spoke to Abraham and said, I have made you a father of many nations, although he and Sarah had no children. Again, God is using the past perfect tense. I have made you. Why? Why could God speak of the non-existent as if it already existed? Well, because he sees the future. He sees his plan. So he was saying, Joshua, when opposition appears unconquerable, pay no attention to appearances, but praise me for the victory you do not currently see. Look with us, please. The book of Deuteronomy, chapter 1, verse 21, here it says,
see, the Lord your God has given you the land.
The Lord your God, what tense does he use? Future tense? The Lord will give you the land? No. The Lord has given you the land. There it is again, past perfect. That's just the way God speaks to us. That's the way He words His promises to us. So our job is to praise Him for the victory before we see the victory in reality. Listen to the words of Jesus. Mark's Gospel, chapter 11, verse 24.
Therefore I tell you, whatever you ask for in prayer, believe that you have received it and it will be yours.
Notice the tense. Believe that you have received it and it will be yours. So you see, brother, sister, God sees the future. That's why He always speaks in past tense in His promises to us. Faith ignores the walls that appeared so strong, so stout, and so erect. That's why God said, Joshua, I have given Jericho into your hands. For brother, sister, we need to do the same thing. We need to agree with God. We need to praise Him for the victory before we can see it, before it materializes. Because in God's mind, it's already there. It's already in existence. Read with us, 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Verse number 18, a word of encouragement.
So we fix our eyes not on what is seen, but on what is unseen. For what is seen is temporary, but what is unseen is eternal.
We fix our eyes on what is unseen. Makes no sense at all. If you can't see it, how can you look at it? And yet God says, we fix our eyes on what is unseen. Well, we go to the Word. We can see the Word. We can read the Word. And so we believe it, even though there is no visible answer to prayer. One time, as Jesus was passing through a city of Israel, a synagogue ruler came to Him and said, Jesus, my only child is dying. Jesus said, I'll come with you and I'll heal her. But notice what happened. Mark chapter 5, verse 36.
Ignoring what they said, Jesus told the synagogue ruler, don't be afraid, just believe.
As Jesus and the synagogue ruler were marching toward the synagogue ruler's home, a messenger arrived and said, why bother the teacher? Your daughter is dead. But notice again what Jesus said to the father of this little girl, the first part of verse 36, Mark chapter 5.
Ignoring what they said.
Ignoring what they said. See, faith ignores walls that appear erect. Faith ignores the situation when our family members seem more and more hardened against the gospel. Whenever difficulties with Christian friends seem more and more unsolvable. Brother, sister, we ignore appearances and we believe what God said. And God said, I have delivered the wall into your hand. I have answered your prayer. I have seen your need. Praise is the language faith speaks. Praise is the language faith speaks. God promised Abraham and Sarah a child. And if this child would bring forth a nation, but there was no child, there was no pregnancy. Let's read what Abraham did when it looked like God's word would never come to pass. Romans chapter 4, verse 19, verse number 20. Here it says,
without weakening in his faith, he faced the fact that his body was as good as dead, since he was about 100 years old, and that Sarah's womb was also dead. Yet he did not waver through unbelief regarding the promise of God, but was strengthened in his faith and gave glory to God.
Notice what it said in verse 19. Abraham faced the fact that he was too old to have children, that Sarah was too advanced in age to have children. He faced the facts. He didn't deny reality. He didn't deny the way things were. He didn't live in avoidance of truth. And the truth was that they were too old to have children. But what did he do? In verse number 20, it says he gave glory to God. He was a praiser. He praised the Lord for bringing his word to pass. And so, because of his praise, he never wavered in his faith. So, brother, sister, whenever your faith seems weak, whenever you feel like you'll never see God help you, help your family, help your nation, or answer your prayer, whenever you feel helpless, start praising. It's time to praise when opposition seems unconquerable. Look at Acts chapter 16, verse number 25. Here Paul and Silas had been beaten, severely beaten, placed in stocks, in chains, and imprisoned in the city of Philippi, which is now Greece. Look at what they did at midnight, whenever they were chained, imprisoned, and guarded by many soldiers. Acts 16, 25.
About midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God, and the other prisoners were listening to them.
They sang hymns to God. In the middle of this horrible situation, they praised the Lord by singing praises, hymns, and psalms to Him. So, brother, sister, please, whenever you face the unconquerable, don't be down in the dumps, but start praising God. Take some of the Psalms, especially Psalm 150. Read it back to God. Read all the praise Psalms back to the Lord and make them your praises. Go to Revelation chapter 5 and chapter 7 and chapter 19 and read the praises to God. Because, brother, sister, we like to praise God after the victory comes. The key to conquering the unconquerable is praising before you see the answer. We want to be people who praise the Lord when opposition seems unconquerable. But secondly, God says it's time to praise when hope and human ability fades away. It's time to praise when hope and human ability fades away. When filled with hope and human ability, there's no room for faith in God. Whenever we are confident in our ability, in others' abilities, there will be no room for faith in God. God has to empty us of hope and human ability before He can fill us with faith in Him. That's one of the primary reasons why trials and difficulties come into our lives. God is trying to do us a favor and remove hope and human ability so there'll be room for faith in God. Viewing Jericho's walls emptied Israel of hope in self. Brother, sister, trials will inevitably empty us of hope in self. Trials are never fun. It was no joy to Israel whenever they looked at those walls of Jericho, that massive city, that well-fortified city, and it appeared so very unconquerable. But really, their hope in self was fading away because the trial was so severe. So, what we want to do, brother, sister, is not give up hope in God and not even give up hope that He will help us. We want to start praising. We want to be people of praise because praise destroys discouragement over human inability. Praise for God destroys discouragement over human inability. So, brother, sister, whenever you are feeling incapable or incompetent, don't worry about it. start praising God, and that praise will lift your eyes to Him, and you'll see Him and not yourself. Praise destroys discouragement over human inability and fills us with hope in God. Hope in self and hope in God cannot coexist. It's either one or the other. Now, it's true that God wants to fill us with self-confidence. But this self-confidence isn't built on self. It's built on the Lord and what He is and what He can make us. Please, brother, sister, if you can write this down, please jot down Isaiah 49, verse 23. We're going to read the last two statements of this verse from the NIV. It is so encouraging. Isaiah 49, verse 23. Here it says, I am the Lord. Those who hope in me will not be disappointed. I am the Lord. Those who hope in me will not be disappointed. So it says it very plainly, brother, sister. Eyes on God encourages us to believe that we will not be disappointed. There can be temporary disappointment. There can be temporary feelings of hopelessness, but in the end, we will not be disappointed. Let's go to Psalm chapter 25. We're going to read verse number 5. And here it says,
guide me in your truth and teach me, for you are God my Savior, and my hope is in you all day long.
Listen to that, brother, sister. You are God my Savior, and my hope is in you occasionally. Is that what it says? No. It says, my hope is in you all day long. So all day, you need to have times of praise, whether you're driving your car, mowing your lawn, dusting your furniture, in church, out of church. Hope in God is manufactured as we praise the Lord, because praise destroys discouragement over human inability. And praise for God fills us with hope in Him. This is the same chapter, Psalm 25, verse number 21.
May integrity and uprightness protect me, because my hope is in you.
My hope is in you. Keep reminding yourself. Memorize the scriptures. At least memorize phrases of them. My hope is in you. Keep reminding yourself of that, my brother, my sister. You have no reason to be discouraged. You have no reason to be despondent. Praise God. Okay, one more psalm. The 31st psalm, verse 24. Here it says,
be strong and take heart, all you who hope in the Lord.
Isn't that great? Be strong. Don't be weak. Take heart. Don't be overwhelmed by hopelessness, because you hope in the Lord. God is our hope. Our hope is not a philosophy. Our hope is not a teaching. Our hope is a person named Jesus. Praise is the language hope in God speaks. Hope in God speaks praise. Listen to Joshua chapter 6, verse number 5, and verse number 20. Here it says,
when you hear them sound a long blast on the trumpets, have all the people give a loud shout. Then the wall of the city will collapse.
There it is, my brother, sister. Have the people give a loud shout of praise. Then the wall will collapse. Then problems will start improving. Then situations that are impossible will become possible. So you see, we praise even when the walls of the city stand erect. Let's read Joshua chapter 6, verse number 20. Here it says,
when the trumpet sounded, the people shouted, and at the sound of the trumpet, when the people gave a loud shout, the wall collapsed.
There it is, again. The wall collapsed when the people shouted and the trumpets blasted. Praise is the language hope in God speaks. So keep it up, brother, sister. Praise even when you don't feel like it. Praise God when you can't sense His presence. God says it's time to praise when you can't sense His presence. Normally, we believe that praise is a response to God's presence. And that's very true. Whenever we feel God in church, whenever we sense His presence during our private time at home, it's great. It's easy to praise God. We read in Revelation over and over about the heavenly praise. Heavenly praisers standing around the throne of God as they see the Lord, as they witness the praising living creatures and the angels, as they feel His presence and feel the heat of His loving person. They praise and praise. Well, that's the way it is in our lives. Praise is normally a response to His nearness. But brother, sister, whenever we concentrate on problems, on difficulties, on unanswered prayer, whenever we concentrate on the walls that stand between us and victory, this concentrating on walls destroys a sense of God's nearness. Even Jesus struggled whenever He couldn't feel His Heavenly Father near Him. Read with us these words. You'll recognize them from the Gospels, but actually we're reading this prophecy from Psalm 22, verse number 1. Here it predicted Jesus' words as He hung on the cross. It says,
my God, why have You forsaken Me? Why are You so far from saving Me, so far from the words of My groaning?"
You see, even Jesus grew disheartened. Whenever He couldn't feel the Lord, He said, "God, why have You forsaken Me? Why are You so far away from Me as I cry out to You?" Brother, sister, we don't want to do that. We do not want to concentrate on what we see with our eyes, hear with our ears, and believe in our heart even. Praise is an act of faith which brings God's presence. Praise is an act of faith which brings God's presence. So, brother, sister, whenever you are down in your spirit, whenever your mind and your thoughts are plagued with discouraging, despondent feelings, we want to be praising. It's easy to praise God when you feel Him near. It is not easy to praise Him when He feels absent. But that's what faith is. Faith does not live by what we sense with our physical feelings. Praise is an act of faith which brings God's presence. So, brother, sister, God gave you and me the ability to intensify His presence in our lives. And we intensify His presence in our lives through praise. Not complaints. Not discouraging words. So God said, "Joshua, tell the people to march around the wall of Jericho one time for 6 days. One time each day. On the seventh day, have them march around it 7 times. And then, when the priests sound with the trumpets, order the people to shout a great shout of victory, of praise. And then the wall of the city will collapse." And that's exactly what happened. For you see, the people's praise brought the presence of God. And the presence of God somehow demolished the walls of the city. And the people marched straight into the city and conquered their otherwise unconquerable enemies. I mentioned a while ago about Paul and Silas in the Philippian jail. Acts chapter 16. Nothing was going right. Everything was going wrong. But at midnight, they praised and magnified the Lord. They couldn't feel anything except pain from the beating they had received. But in spite of their feelings, they brought God's presence into their situation by praise. And look at what happened. Acts chapter 16, verse number 26. Here it says,
Suddenly there was such a violent earthquake that the foundations of the prison were shaken. At once all the prison doors flew open and everybody's chains came loose.
I believe the Lord is using that story to encourage you and me to be praisers, because notice, God's presence that came because of praise shook the jail and all the prison doors were open. So, Mother Sister, your prison doors of despondency, of discouragement, of despair, they will be opened. You will be freed to go on with your Christian life, to go on with your business, to go on with your ministry as you bring the presence of God through praise. In the earlier part of Acts, the Jewish leaders sternly warned Peter and John and all the church, don't preach anymore in the name of Jesus. But what did the people do? Let's read Acts 4, verse 31. Here it says,
after they prayed, the place where they were meeting was shaken, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and spoke the word of God boldly.
The church met together and heard reports of the threats from the Jewish leaders, but they prayed, they praised, they met for worship, and the place was shaken. Their act of faith called praise brought the presence of God. Brother, sister, quit trying to witness to your family. Quit trying to solve this situation or that problem and just start praising God for doing what you can't. And your act of faith will concentrate the presence of God against every opposing force. You want victory? Become a praiser. For God says it's time to praise when opposition seems unconquerable. God says it's time to praise whenever we cannot feel His presence. God says it's time to praise whenever hope and human ability fades away. Let's go to Jesus right now. This Jesus who wants us to become full-time praisers. Lord, we love You. Jesus, we exalt You. We magnify You. We thank You for You. And Lord Jesus, we ask You to do a work in our hearts and transform us from complainers into praisers of God so that we can see the victories God promised us. We love You, Jesus, and thank You in Your wonderful name. Amen.